coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Well, I'm not Doug Hagman, although I guess that would be quite an honor to say that I was. Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer sitting in today for Doug. As many of you know, Doug's had some oral surgery, and really has kind of knocked him back for a loop. From what I understand, he's kind of talking like having marbles in your mouth. So Doug's doing well, but he's not able to be in here and host us. And so he called me, not me, Eric the Tech, got a hold of me. He said, Coach, you're interested in sitting in for Doug on Wednesday? I said, absolutely, love to do it. And then I pulled a real coup, and I picked up the phone, texted my buddy L.A. Marzulli. I said, L.A., how about you? Can you come in and join us here on the Hagman Report? And Hagman, and of course, L.A. was happy to do it. And folks, we just pray that you could just continue to pray for Doug out there for a quick healing, get back, you know, get the oral surgery he had done. It's going to require, actually, crazy as it sounds, you know, they do some stuff in your mouth. You can't always talk the way they used to talk before, right? It's like having a big pile of something in there, whether nerves and all that stuff. So keep Doug in your prayers, and we're going to do the best we can here to do a good representation here on the Hagman Report. So L.A. Marzulli, most of you know him. Here's a scoop with me and L.A. Marzulli. I grew up in I live right now in the heart of what L.A. told me about 4 or 5 years ago is Nephilim Central. Now, I didn't even really be honest with you, having grown up here in the Licking County area, we always called it the land of legend. That's what everyone called it. And Newark was the land of legend. We didn't know why. We had the Circle Mounds here. We had the Mound Builders Golf Course. They called us the Mound City up here, but didn't really have any meaning because they told all of us here and who grew up in this area that those were Indian mounds, that they were built by Hopewell Indians. And I did some research, but didn't think much about it, you know. And then I got to meet L.A. and came across the late Russ Dizdar, and boy, my eyes got open to understand what really was going on there at the especially the Circle Mounds there in Newark, Ohio, and a little bit north of them, the golf course, which was what they always called Mound Builders Country Club. And then to find out that these mounds were all over. And when I first met L.A. about 5 or 6 years ago, and I wanted to hear the Watchman conferences, my eyes got open. I said, L.A., this is where I live. He said, yeah. And I said, you are in Nephilim Central. And that once he opened my eyes to that and understood, I understood where we were, the land of legend, all that kind of stuff. Boy, oh boy, did it really, really transform a lot of my life as far as from a spiritual component, a spiritual point of view. The idea of giants and fallen angels and the spiritual realm oh my God, demons. L.A., thanks for coming in here and joining us, brother. I'm not
great
nuts
to be here.
I'm not nuts in my L.A. I'm not nuts.
No. You're not. You're definitely not nuts. That's why we're on the trail. You and I are talking about maybe doing a conference back in Newark, sometime in the fall. And I think it would be great, absolutely a great thing to do. And we've kind of bandied about that. We'll see each other. Got to hear the Watchman Conference coming up on March 17th or the 20th. And we're going to try to maybe nail some of the date down and the particulars and who we're going to invite and all that stuff. So more about that as time goes on. But yeah, you know, there is a hidden history that has been deliberately obfuscated from the peoples of the world. I mean, there's no doubt about that. That's the way it works. And there's reasons for it. We can get into that. But I mean, once you start tipping your toe into that water, you realize that you're already in the deep end of the pool, It just gets deeper. It's unbelievable.
So, L.A., what do you think has happened so much? Again, you know, some of your background, people may not know this about you. You were, for lack of a better term, you were a new ager, right, L.A.? So when you came across this kind of stuff, boy, this was kind of eye opening to you as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was. I left the Catholic Church at 13, right after I was confirmed. And the Beatles were, this is 1963. So the Beatles are everywhere. And then they usher in Eastern mysticism. And I was all into that. Fakirs who are holy men, Mahatmas, gurus, third eye. I mean, the whole nine yards. I mean, I was hook, line, and sinker. I had actually had a guru, lived in the ashram for 3 years. I was utterly immersed in the New Age. I studied Carlos Castaneda, vision quests. I had spirit guides, all that. I mean, I lived it. I was mm-hmm. in the New Age. And when I was 30 years old, I was completely disillusioned with it. And at the end of one of Dave Hunt's books, there's a little prayer to give your life to Jesus. You know, I'm alone in my room, nobody around, nobody hitting me over the head with a Bible. And I just said, look, if you're real, come into my life. And I waited and nothing happened. And about a month later, the dam broke in a dream. And I woke up crying, just deep, deep sobs because of what happened in my childhood and how I repressed all that. And right. It was all submerged and a lot of it came out. And, you know, I remember the girl I was living with, she didn't understand what was happening and she left like 2 weeks later. And then I was in, every time a church was open, I was there, Bible study, Bible study, Bible study, basically for 10 years. In the interim, after 3 years of being in spiritual boot camp, I graduated from boot camp. And during that 3 years, I was celibate. No dating, no nothing. It was just, you go to the church, this is what you do. End of story. Uh-huh. And I became a worship leader, and I had two mentors. One was Pastor Fred Nicholas, Calvary Chapel, Thousand Oaks. The other one was Wayne Kendall. Both men are now deceased. So life goes by very quickly. And both of those men, especially Wayne, Wayne more than Fred, because I was with Wayne every day. We worked together. Wayne helped me through the darkest period of my life. So after 10 years, the Lord said, hey, remember where you come from? Where you just came from? Guess what? We're going to go back to that.
Unbelievable, huh?
I'm an apologist for all that. And I'm like, what? And here we are, you know, here we are.
One of the girls that listens to my show regularly, LA, I call her my resident former pagan because she's got saved too. She got saved to I believe you were at a conference in Canton when it happened. She got saved to that. And she's trying to tell all of us that this dark side is real, right? I mean, the witches and all the stuff that goes along with it. This is all so real because she was in the dark side. Yeah, she did it. She came out of it. She says the same thing. Christians don't have any idea what's going on, what this is all about. So LA, when you said you fell back into that dark side, meaning you went back from what you came out of, did the people that you, your minister leaders, your friends, did they think you were nuts, LA, when you started talking about giants and fallen angels?
When I started talking about that, and of course, UFOs, shameless plug, right? But when I first started talking about all that, I realized very quickly that, no, this isn't for everybody. You got to keep your, it's like pearls before swine. I hate to say that. But most of the church was ignorant of it, didn't want to hear about it, especially the whole UFO phenomenon. I mean, for decades, I've been banging my drum that this is the coming great deception. And I will be talking about this and more at the Hear the Watchman conference. Look, folks, in 2017, the cat was out of the bag. So last conference I was at was 2 years ago, and that's it. All the doors are shut. So a lot's happened since then, and the whole UFO phenomena has been sort of rolled out for people. I mean, it's real. Our government has basically stated so. So it's no longer what L.A. Marzulli is positing or it's conjecture. No, it's not. Our government has stated on the record that they have in their possession off-world vehicles not found on this earth. So yeah, I mean, I remember when the book in the Nephilim Trilogy was published, 1999, one of the reviewers said, this is a great read, blah, 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 blah. But one gets the impression that L.A. Marzulli might actually believe in all of it.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I do. Hook, line, and sinker, pal.
I'm sorry, Al. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I do that for a living. I tell people. So do you believe these UFOs that we're talking about? Because we're going to get into, we're going to move beyond that a bit too. Are they interplanetary, LA, or interdimensional? What is it we're dealing with here?
Well, in my opinion, they are totally interdimensional. By the way, I will be speaking at the UFO conference coming up Memorial Day weekend, I believe. It's in Utah. More about that as time goes on. It's a secular venue. Jaime Maussan is there. J. Allen Hynek Jr. will be speaking. They're releasing never-before film of UFOs. which the public has not seen. This is a global event through live streaming, and I was asked to speak. So I will be going there, and I will be speaking and presenting part of the roundtable. I'll be the only Christian there, because there are only two paradigms one can hold here. One, that these craft are interdimensional, and they're coming here from, you know, Zeta Reticuli or some other place, or they're interdimensional, and they're popping through basically from the second heaven. Of course, as a born-again, spirit-filled believer, it's the latter. These are interdimensional entities. They lie. Look, Jacques Vallée said this in his book, Messengers of Deception. These entities lie and do so habitually. So who is the father of lies? I mean, you tell me. And that's what we're looking at. This is the coming great deception. I'll be talking about this at the Hear the Watchman conference, because, and I'll tie this back into this. I'll say, let me ask you something, folks, without patting myself on the back, but I'm patting myself on the back and I get this. Who's been banging this drum for decades? Who's been telling you that this phenomenon is real and that this that is the coming great deception? You know, who's the guy? You just tell me. Who's the guy who's been telling you this? You know, like Paul says, I'm boasting. I realize I'm boasting, okay? That's I don't need a letter of correction. I'm
you
boasting,
should, by the way.
But now I'm telling you that this mark, we took it out. We took the prototype out. We're the only Christian team ever to do so. It's in our film. I'll be showing you the clip. I've shown it before, but now it's like, wait a minute. I don't believe this is conjecture on my part. When they come, when they actually show up, they're going to have this little implant and they're going to put it in people, and that will change your DNA. Mm. Something is going to change your DNA. Maybe it's a 1-2 shot because the COVID vaccine is not the mark of the beast. People have said, oh, it's the mark of the beast. First of all, the Antichrist has never revealed himself. The church is still here. So there's a lot of, depending on what you believe theologically, your eschatological viewpoint is, your end time viewpoint is, all that can change. But the bottom line is this. We know from Scripture that the Antichrist, the anti-Messiah, the son of perdition, the seed of the dragon, the offspring of the serpent, is the one that stands. And by the way, he's a Nephilim. He's the Nephilim. Mm. That's what he is, right? He stands up and creates this mark. You won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. Is the vaccine a precursor? Absolutely. Could it be in somehow in conjunction with it? I don't know. It certainly could be. But we've never seen anything like it. Never seen anything remotely like it in all of history. I'm here to tell you that these implants that we took out are the prototypes. Whoever is doing it, and I know who's doing it, has spent an inordinate amount of time, energy, material to do this. And they do it over and over, and there's an evolution of them. In other words, the implant we took out was 45 years old back then, 5 years ago. Okay, now it's like 50 years old. Okay, the one prior to that, that Dr. Roger Lear took out, you couldn't cut it open with a diamond blade saw. You had to take it into a laboratory and cut it open with a laser. That tells me that there's an evolution of these little implants, and they don't run on the circulatory system. They're somehow tied in to the nervous system, So this is what I think. Look, and I've written about this extensively. I'll talk about this here at the Watchman. Think about this. Loving Holy God, anytime the Nephilim are present, anytime the Nephilim, the judgment is always the same. There's never any grace and mercy shown, and the Nephilim are dealt with very severely, very swiftly, very severely. Boom, wipe them all out. Men, women, children, kill them all because they're not human. They don't have souls. They're not human. They're a hybrid entity between the offspring of the fallen angels and the women of earth. And I love people. I get an email almost once a day. How can angels possibly procreate? I just write back, well, when the three angels show up to Abraham's tent and one of them is Jesus, that's called a theophany, they're eating with him. That's how they procreate. They can eat, they can procreate. Trust me.
Ellie, the Bible says that times are coming when men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear. Now, folks, what could that be? Could that be walking out your door and there's a wolf out there? Is that what we're talking about here? Somehow I think it's something a little bit more crazy than that. And then, Ellie, I like to help people understand it this way. When we talk about dimensions, right? Twilight Zone, a dimension of sight and sound. And we all grew up with a Twilight Zone. But I like to use the example of we are in a fish tank. And I love to go to the Columbus Zoo and take my grandkids to the Columbus Zoo because you go into the aquarium and you stand outside the aquarium and you look in and you can see all the fish in there. Those great big fish, and you try to knock on it and they don't know you're there, LA. They don't, those fish don't have any idea you're on the outside looking in, right? And I'm on the outside. I can see everything that they do, but they don't know that I'm there. And so we're living in a fish tank here as well, however we want to describe that. And there are those somehow, some way outside of this fish tank. It's invisible around us, maybe right here. And we just can't access that, right, LA? So the idea then, that's where the angels are. That's where the demons are. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood in this invisible world around us. Would that be a fair description of it?
I think it's a brilliant way to do it. I might be using that. And if I do use it, I will say I learned this from.
You don't even have to do that.
Oh, I go out of my way to make sure if I hear something from someone, I always give credit as much as possible, always. Because, people don't do it with my stuff. They just steal it. But I digress. And that's up to the Lord. But, you know.
So where is the demonic realm, right? Where would that be when they say evil spirits in high places?
If we could see what was going on around us sometimes, I think we'd just keel over.
That's why men's heart will fail them for fear. Because we will see that, won't we, LA?
Look, why would Jesus, and this is. And I'll be talking about this here in the Watchman, and guys need to be there. The bottom line is this: why would Jesus warn us? And I mean, people, you know, we have this image of Jesus with the lamb on his shoulder, you know, the white Jesus, the totally white Jesus, you know, I am Jesus, I've got a lamb on my shoulder, and I love you. And I get that he does. I totally get that. I get it. He absolutely loves us more than we could ever imagine. But then he gives us this warning. Men's faint from fear, from what is coming upon the earth, for the heavens, the powers of heavens will be shaken.
Amen.
Telling you exactly what's going to happen. So what is the powers of heaven being shaken look like? Welcome. Welcome, folks. You know, you can, and I get that. But guess who was right? Once again, I'm patting myself on the back. Wish LA would stop doing that. It's really annoying. I just getting started here, okay? I got the whole other side of the bat. I've been warning about this. I'm a watchman, okay? I've been warning about this for decades. That's why we released the free UFO film. I had this friend of mine who said, well, what about the kingdom, LA? And I looked at him and I said, well, we just released an hour-long film, which cost thousands of dollars to make, not to mention all the hundreds of hours in editing and everything else, right? We released it for free. Why? Because this information needs to go out. I'm working on part two. It's right over there in my edit suite. I hope to have that out by the end of March, beginning of April. I'm really close, really close. Part three, four, and five, you got to pay for it. I mean, I got to make some money here, folks. Got to keep the lights on. But we release it for free. It's on my YouTube channel. If you just go to LA Marzulli, okay, and any YouTube video that's there, when you open up a text box below and scroll down, free UFO film, there's the link. Watch it. Because I'll say it again. This is the coming great deception and the Luciferian endgame. It is what it's about to happen. Heck, it's already happening. I mean, what does it take? What does it take to wake the church up? And I don't know. I mean, I talked about this on your show a couple of days ago when we did it. And I said, you know, you would think my phone would be ringing off the hook. That I would get preponderance of emails from people, from pastors, LA, you know, I now believe this is happening. What do I tell my congregation? Why don't you come to our church and talk about it? What do we take this? No, I don't get any of that. It's not happening at all. Not even remotely.
Amen.
I get one or two emails a month from some pastor or something, you know, asking me a question. That's it. It doesn't.
All right. So LA, let me put the clutch in here a minute, okay? Because there are people who are watching us right now, probably. First of all, don't even understand Genesis 6, which says there were giants in the earth in those days and also afterwards, right? When he explains how the angels came down to have sex with women. But LA, really, to a vast, vast, vast majority of Christianity, they have never, ever heard this, LA. I was in church my whole life, right? I read Genesis 6. made no sense to me at all, right?
Nope.
So if you could just take, let's go back to kindergarten 101 and explain when you use the term Nephilim, what exactly does that mean? Because LA, there are people watching the Hagman Report right now that they're going to go ask their pastor, and the pastor's going to say, hey, stop watching that. So will you stop watching that Hagman, that crazy stuff, right? So because the pastors either don't know or don't want to go there or have been trained in their seminaries that's not their theology, this is, we don't have any idea what's going on around us. And the Lord told us that my people were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So LA, take us back to, we'll go to the first grade. All right. What the heck? When you say Nephilim, what are you talking about?
Okay. Before I do that, I'm just going to give you, you know, you had a little thing on my YouTube channel. We're going to be on the PTL network this coming Friday. It's a weekly show. It's called On the Trail of a Nephilim. Our very first show is a primer. It's a half hour show. We don't have time to do all that. Watch that. It's free. It's on YouTube. But I get into the whole thing from Genesis 3:15, Genesis 6. And the video production is a half hour TV show. It's not a YouTube deal. That was released it yesterday. Watch it. Here's the deal. If we don't understand Genesis 3:15, if we don't come to grips with Genesis 3:15, in my opinion, we have no idea what happens in Genesis 6 with Noah's flood, the Tower of Babel, Abraham and the five kings, Sodom and Gomorrah, and finally the conquest of the Holy Land. No idea. And then when we get the book of Revelation, we read about that the itchy nose, it's the
That's
pollen
right.
of the air out here.
Forgive
That's
me. California. You deserve that. Go ahead.
But the bottom line is when we get to the book of Revelation, we read the son of perdition, the offspring of the dragon, the son of perdition. Well, I mean, there it is, the son of perdition. Genesis 3:15, in that vignette, we see the pre-incarnate Christ. That's who's walking in the garden. It's a theophany. There's Jesus in the garden. You got the dragon, as Rustis used to call him, the dragon, Satan, the serpent over here. You got Adam and Eve over there. Adam and Eve just sided with the serpent. They just partook of his DNA somehow. They're now in league with the dragon, which is why they've fallen. That's why the Redeemer. Jesus says to the dragon, your offspring, your seed, will be at war with the offspring, the seed of the woman. The one coming from the woman, the proto-evangelium, will crush your head. You will bruise his heel. If we don't come to grips on Genesis 3:15, then you might as well just fold your Bible and walk out of the room, because you'll never understand it. You just won't. You'll never understand. Three chapters later, when you get to Noah's flood, and then some of these people, it's like the sons of God, well, those are the godly line of Seth. and the women of earth are the hoochie mamas of Cain. But that's not what the text says. Hoochie mama is not in our Bible. And the word Cain is not in that passage. It says the sons of God, the B'nai HaElohim, saw the daughters of men and took them. They just took wives, it's plural. I wrote about all this in the book, the new book, Countermove, which I will be talking about, once again, shameless plug, at Hear the Watchman Conference. This stuff is important. So LA,
for those who don't know, I just turned to Genesis 3:15, because you've mentioned it about four times, and it says, and I will put enmity between the seed of the woman, between the woman and between the seed and her seed, the seed of the serpent and the seed, an eternal struggle for world dominance, call it whatever you want to, was lost in Genesis 3:15.
If you were going to keep one scripture from Christians and make sure that they didn't understand it, that's what you'd keep from them. You'd go out of your way to make sure that your pastor never would talk about that. Because when you do, everything opens up. The entire biblical narrative takes on a whole new life, a whole new meaning. Everything just becomes crystal clear. Because if you don't understand that, when you get to Noah's flood, and all of a sudden, the God of the Bible destroys everybody except for eight people. And it says, but Noah was pure in all his generations. What does that mean? Why is that important? Why is it so important for the Holy Spirit to make sure that everyone knows that Noah was pure in all his generations? And by the way, everybody on the ark, there is no Nephilim gene in Ham's wife. That's total nonsense. That's why I wrote the book, Countermove. And I'll be talking about counter movement. Why? Not because I'm so brilliant, but because the Holy Spirit gave me a download one night, which became the basis, the nexus for the book Counter Move. Look, the fallen angels, the B'nai, go ahead.
The seed of the serpent, the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the woman. Folks, we have two football teams on the field here, right?
We have
the devil's team, and we have the Lord's team. And these two are in an eternal struggle together, right?
Absolutely. And it all ends basically at Armageddon, when the rider on the white horse, Jesus, with the armies of heaven on white horses. And I've been there for 3 seconds, so I know it's real. And the horse I was on had no saddle, had no bridle. I was holding on to the horse's mane. The armies of heaven were stacked up like the floors of an apartment building in a horseshoe shape. And in the center of that horseshoe was the rider on the white horse. And all the horses were staggered, so every rider in that great throng could see the rider on the white horse. I was there for 3 seconds. I was a brand new Christian. I was there, like Paul, in the body or out of the body. I was there. It wasn't a vision. I was there. I'll never forget it. And I was about 8 rows back up in the upper right flank. Not the top row, but about 8 rows back on the right flank. And I went to my pastor. I said, I had this, I don't know what it was, but this is, and he goes, have you ever read the book of Revelation, Revelation 19? I said, no, because I hadn't got to that part yet. And he showed it to me, about fell out of my chair. I was there. That's when all this nonsense ends for about 1,000 years. And then I had a very vivid dream just recently, and I'll never forget it. This was a dream, but it was a waking dream. It was very, very vivid. I'm on my white horse. It's the millennium. I'm in the millennium. I'm in this very strange, desolate, dark, volcanic place on the earth. It's a place that you just, it's very inhospitable. You don't want to be there. My horse is about 50 feet away, and I'm walking towards this open pit, which smoke is coming out of it. And this creature, like Gollum from The Lord of the Rings, comes crawling up out of it. And I look at him and I say, I know who you are, and I know what you, I know that you just got let out. And he hits me without touching me. I go flying back 20 feet, hits me right in the solar plexus. Boom! I go flying back. And I look at him one last time, and I get on my white horse, and I fly back to Jerusalem and tell the king he's out. Of course, the king knows that already, but I tell him he's out. Now, you call me crazy, that's my dream.
Okay? Yeah, well, when you are crazy, man, we know that you're crazy. That's what makes you such a unique guy. So, L.A., let's not lose sight of something here, folks. This is critical about the gospel. The seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman. Now, it tells us this, L.A., as it was in the days of Noah,
bingo,
so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So we have to ask ourselves, what was going on at the days of Noah? They were messing with the seed, were they not, L.A.? Absolutely.
They were messing with the seed, and this is why there are hybrids walking amongst us, because we're doing it now. We've had too many reports from people that have encountered the hybrids, but the dragon keeps them back. He's not releasing all of his forces yet. He's just not. Dr. Jacob's book, Walking Amongst Us, he's a secular guy, and he's in ill health right now, I think. But he wrote a book called Walking Amongst Us, and he talks about having encounters with these hybrids. And that's what people, I mean, this is the deal. If we don't understand Genesis 3:15, when we finally get to, it'll be like the days of Noah when I return, well, they were eating and drinking. Well, who's the they? Go back to Genesis 6. They were eating and drinking. It's not men. It's not men. When you read the book of Enoch, people go, well, that's not part of our canon. Read the book of Enoch, because it opens up the biblical narrative, the antediluvian world, in ways that blow your mind. Because the Nephilim were there, and the angels had taken wives. They sired these children known as the Nephilim, and the Nephilim began to eat and drink the blood and flesh of human beings when they could no longer be sustained. They were cannibals. Guess what's happening in the U.S.? Guess what's happening in the U.S.? All through, when the white settlers came in and they talked to the tribes, the Native Americans, the First Nation people, they reported the six-fingered, red-haired, double rows of teeth, cannibalistic giants that they either had to kill or move out of the area. It's all there.
For LA, I could go on for weeks with you. This is so intriguing. Now, friends, listen. I'm going to take them back to kindergarten here a second, LA. There had to be a perfect sacrifice, a perfect seed get through. The seed of the woman. Why? Because the seed of the woman was going to be the perfect sacrifice for the redemption of mankind. And so the enemy is trying to do everything he can to destroy the seed of the woman from getting through and doing exactly what it was supposed to do. So they're messing with the seed. The fallen angels come down having sex with women, creating a hybrid race. And the Lord says, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to flood this place. And that isn't that kind of what's going on, LA? Because if somebody didn't intervene, this perfect seed wasn't going to be able to get in. Make it into Jerusalem. Make it up on that cross for the salvation of all mankind. This all connects together.
It does. It all dovetails together. And this is why it's so imperative for us to understand Genesis 3:15. Because that the first mention of the Messiah, our Redeemer, is mentioned in Genesis 3:15. That's where we understand. That's the entire battle plan. That's it. In a nutshell, that's the battle plan. The offspring of a dragon is going to be at war with the offspring of the woman. But the one coming from the offspring of the woman will crush the dragon's head. We know that that's Jesus, and he already did that. When that happens at Calvary, and I wrote about this, and I'll talk about it once again, shameless plug, we hear the watchman, but I'll give you a taste of it. Where does Jesus go? When he passes from the cross, I actually wrote about this, called The Descent. I've never published a novel. Perhaps I should, dig it out and try to rewrite that thing. I probably should. But he descends to the lower parts of the earth, specifically right. Tartarus. Mm-hmm. That's where he goes. And what does he do? Bullinger tells us it's a proclamation. He basically says, no more jailbreak.
Game's over.
Getting out of here. You're not getting out. I got the keys, not getting out. And I'll get into this because, look, and again, LA's patting himself on the back a lot here, Coach. I don't know whether I can watch him again. He's getting a little too big for his britches, doggone it. Here's the bottom line. I didn't get this. The Holy Spirit gave it to me one night. All the credit and the glory goes to him. I was the vessel that he chose to bring it. Go figure. I'm just a broken sinner saved by grace like everybody else watching. Nobody special, but he gave it to me, and he led me to the Book of Enoch, which I had read, I don't know, a whole lot of times. And by the way, my copy of Enoch was falling apart. It was dog-eared. It was underlined. I had little sticky notes on it in every place. There were little references to things in the back. I mean, that's right? Burning the fire, like my entire library. That's the one thing I miss, but it's all here. For the most part, it's here and in here. Okay, so here's this one scripture, and I'll tell you, I'll give you the story. I'm going to tell it again here in the Watchman, but this is how it happened. So I'm reading a book, and the book is by a well-known Christian author who's telling us that Ham's wife carried the Nephilim gene on board the ark, and I never believed that for a second because that makes God a trickster.
Yeah, makes
God, sense. God's going to wipe everybody on the planet. Oh, but I'm going to leave that gene in Ham's wife. And you don't think Noah would know that something's wrong with Ham's wife? It says, Noah, you, your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives. He says it in two places. It's a vetting process. Noah was pure in all his generations. And then there's the vetting process.
Bloodline. Bloodline pure. Bloodline.
Bloodline pure. Bloodline pure. The DNA is intact. So I'm reading this stuff by this author, and I'm just going, Lord, who am I? I don't read Greek. I don't read Hebrew. Who am I? If I have to, I'll talk to a Greek scholar, talk to a rabbi, talk to a Hebrew scholar. I'll read the interlinear. I'll go and look at different commentaries to try to get what is it really saying here. And of course, as Chuck Mosley used to say, you get two rabbis together, you get three opinions. Well, that's good. Lord, I lay down on the bed. I'm depressed. Because, how am I going to, I don't believe this, Lord. I don't believe that Ham's wife carried a Nephilim gene. So I lay my head down on the pillow, and the Lord begins to speak to me, not in an audible voice. And this doesn't happen every day, trust me. Okay, and the Holy Spirit speaks, and he goes, what happened at the end of World War II? And I'm going like, I don't know. You know, what does this have to do with anything? I get kind of ticked off sometimes because, you know, like the cat and mouse thing. It's like,
yeah, well, actually, a lot of things happened at the end of World War II.
Yeah, how am I supposed to know? And so the Lord said, what did the Japanese do at the end of the war when they realized they were about to lose the war? I'm still not getting it. I don't know. And he goes, they had suicide bombers, the kamikaze, the divine wind. Wow. Okay. The divine wind. I'm thinking to myself, what does this have to do with anything? I'm not following it at all. And the Lord said, Holy Spirit said, they knew they were going to lose the war. It essentially was lost. So this was a last gasp attempt to stop it, to somehow pull victory out of the jaws of defeat.
Go down in flames. Go down in flames. That's right.
Then the Holy Spirit goes, now go to the book of Enoch and read this passage. I knew exactly, and I know it by heart. Then Semyaza said to the 200 watcher angels that were gathered there, I fear ye will indeed not agree to do this sin, do this thing, and I alone shall have to bear the penalty of this great sin. And I jumped up out of bed and I went, oh my God, it was a suicide mission and they knew it. And I ran down and I yelled and screaming at like 11 o'clock at night, Peggy, you're not going to believe this. I'm totally freaked out. And I tell her, and I run back and get my cell phone. And it's like, I got to call Gary Stearman. Gary, you're not going to believe this. And this is like midnight his time, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. And we talked for an hour on the phone. He said, LA, I've never heard this before. And I go, hello, I didn't come up with it. Holy Spirit came up with it. So here we have in plain sight, the book of Enoch, all right, telling us exactly what happened. Nobody got it. Nobody gets it. Nobody's ever written about it. It was like sealed. It was hidden, but it was totally sealed. I mean, it was there and you could read it, but it was sealed. It was sealed. And then he gave it to me. Go figure. Okay. And that's became the book, Countermove, How the Nephilim Returned After the Flood. The bottom line, coach, is this. It was a suicide mission. The fallen angels knew it was a suicide mission, and they did it anyway, which is why when Jesus goes down to Tartarus and he says, no jailbreak, you're not getting out. You're not getting out. And he had the keys. Why does he go there before he does anything else? He goes down there because he goes, game over. I just won. Checkmate. I got the keys. It's over. And then he releases the captives. He resurrects, he comes back. We all know the rest of the story. So, I mean, that's huge.
A suicide mission. I have never heard that before, but that, because they knew, right? I mean, they knew there was no going back. In fact, he said,
I'm not going back. And they did it. They did it that time, and they did it again and again and again, because the dragon's telling him, I'm going to get you out. Trust me. It's all good. I'm going to get you out. But they knew the penalty. They knew what the penalty was beforehand. But they did it anyway.
Okay, so LA, let me camp right there for a second, because I do a show on Bridie on TV, and of course I do my morning show as well at CoachDaveLive.com. And I did a show last week on the fact of the whole Nephilim idea, right? And where they came from and yada 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 yada. And so LA, so the people can understand, the Nephilim again were, they can't die, right, LA? So when they come down, they come down and they mix, angels mix with women, and they produce this, whenever they die, they can't go back to their first estate, whatever that means, when they came down. And so they create then what, these disembodied spirits? Is that what we're dealing with, LA? That these crossbreeds, these hybrid breeds, women, children die, but they're not like us. They're not human. They cannot. They got no place to go, LA.
They have no place to go. They're earthbound. And the book of Enoch tells us exactly the demons are the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim. Fallen angels are fallen angels. They're immortal. They have access right now between earth and the second heaven. And apparently the dragon himself can pop up into the first heaven, the throne room. How does that work? No idea.
Sticks his head into the aquarium, right?
That's exactly it. The bottom line is this. I call it the great eviction notice. At some moment in time, Michael and his angels fights with the dragon and his angels. And I call it the great eviction notice when the dragon and his angels are cast to earth. That's the only place they can go. Woe to the inhabitants on earth because the dragon, Satan, that old serpent, has been cast down to you and he knows his time is short. One of the most chilling sentences in all of scripture right there. He knows his time is short. He's been cast to earth. He can't get out. He's stuck in the space-time continuum. He's in, to use your analogy, he's in the fish tank.
Yep.
He's in the fish tank, and he can no longer see or access the realm outside the fish tank. He's That's in right. the fish tank, and he's really ticked off.
Yeah, really. He wants to get out. So, yeah. LA, again on my show last week, I've talked about the Book of Enoch. So let's just go there for a second, because as soon as you bring that up, people will say, that's not even in the Bible. That's not. I would say to them, listen, it's like a history book. The encyclopedia isn't in the Bible, but the encyclopedia tells you what was going on in the world. And isn't the Book of Enoch, in some sense, the exact same thing, an extra biblical historical account of what's going on? Would that be a fair way of explaining it, LA?
I think it's a very fair way to explain it. And again, if you were going to keep that book away from Christians, because what it does is it opens everything up.
It does.
The Book of Enoch, if you were going to keep one book out of the Ark canon, that's the book you would keep out. And that's why Jude quotes it. So, you know, before everybody gets on their high theological horse, well, you know, the Book of Enoch, LA, that's, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, why does Jude quote it? Why, if it's so bad, why is Jude quoting the Book of Enoch? And that's the question. Look, it was, I believe that it was part of the canon in the early church. They knew about it. The fact that Jude quotes it tells me that if Jude read it, probably everybody read it. They all knew. Something else to think about. At the time of Josephus's writing, and I stand on the shoulders of my mentor, Dr. I.D.E. Thomas, who wrote the book, The Omega Conspiracy. That changed my life. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. All because of that one little book by Dr. Thomas. He talks about Josephus's writings. And Josephus writes that before the destruction of Jerusalem in the first AD 70, the bones of the Nephilim were openly on display so that the children of Israel, the descendants of Israel, could see what was in the land and what their forefathers conquered. Now, we talked about this last time I was on your show. We don't know where those bones were kept. Certainly not in the temple, because that would defile the temple. Not in the outer court, definitely not there. But what about on the way to the temple? If you were going to put the bones of the Nephilim, where would you put them? I put them on the way to the temple. So the temple's not defiled, but everybody knows, wow, our God is the real God. Look what he conquered. Look what he helped us conquer, and here we are. So the bones of the giants, according to Josephus, were openly on display, whose visages and countenances were unlike other men. Their sound of their voices terrible to the hearing. How does he know about that? Why does Josephus write about that?
Or LA, even about the whole story of David and Goliath. We we don't even think about it when people talk about Goliath. We just acknowledge, was he the only one? Well, we know clearly he wasn't the only one, right?
No, Goliath had brothers.
So that was common. Folks, listen, you have to understand that when you read the Bible, this gets me in trouble sometimes with people. I said, listen, a lot of this is time sensitive, right? You have to understand the time in which they were living for some of this to be able to make sense. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have libraries. They didn't have any of that. So a lot of this was passed from mouth to mouth, person to person, ear to ear. These stories are out there. And clearly, Enoch was just telling us what was going on, even though it's not in the scripture. Cool?
This is why we need to come to an understanding. Goliath is there, and everybody knows exactly who he is. I mean, it's not, you know, they know who he is. We know from Numbers 13:33, the Nephilim were in the land, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight.
That's right.
The Anak were there. I mean, it's all right there, screaming at us if we choose to look at it. But it's been lost because the modern day church won't ever get it. What does it have to do with salvation? I remember this so-called theologian modern day theologian. I was at a conference and someone asked him, well, what about UFOs and the Nephilim? And he said, oh, that's just foolishness. Excuse me? Yeah. As in the days of Noah, so it will be when the Son of Man returns. Satan comes with all signs and lying wonders. Men faint from fear for what's coming upon the earth. Foolishness? No, sir. That's the problem. Because Israel never listened to the watchman. So why should the church listen to the watchman now? They don't. Yeah. They don't. And I'm in good company. Because they didn't listen to the prophets. They don't listen to them now either. I've done my job. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. See? I've done my job. I'm here every day on my YouTube channel. I'm creating more films on the Trail of the Nephilim on the PTL Network every Friday at 11 and 8 Pacific time. Here I am. I'm doing it. Hands on the plow. Not bitter, but it's like at some point you just kind of wonder, what's it going to be? Oh, I get it. I know what it will take. It'll actually take them to manifest, but by then it's too late anyway.
All right. So, Elliot, let me reel you back in here a second. We got about 10 minutes. Got about 10 minutes left here. So let's go back to the mounds, okay? Because I can remember when you and I went together at the mounds here in the Circle Mounds here in Newark, Ohio, and we stood out there and we see that 360 perfectly high. And you say, how could they possibly? They couldn't have built these mounds with what, shells, buckets? What? I mean, LA, once you stand there and you see how massive these things are, you know this couldn't have been done by a bunch of Indians with whatever they would have had. And you had a really, really interesting concept of that. You felt that they were built in like almost one instance. Explain that, LA.
If there's a supernatural dynamic to this, and I believe that there is, I don't think we're looking at people shovel dirt and haul dirt in baskets. And I remember at one site, one of these archaeologists made this big deal. Well, we discovered a basket of labor turned in one of the mounds. Well, where was it? That could have been a secondary internment, because we know that Native Americans did use the mounds for internment. We know that. Yes. Okay, but that doesn't make, look, if we're dealing with the stones of Sacsayhuaman in Peru, huge megalithic stones, okay? Absolutely, 80, 100 tons. And let me just show you what I am talking about, okay? Give me a secundo here, because it's absolutely mind-boggling, okay?
And well, it's the same thing as you're looking there, LA. It's the same thing about the Circle Mounds in Newark. They're so high with a moat on the inside of them, of all things, LA. Think somebody could have done that's crazy. Oh, yeah.
See the little guy right there?
Yeah.
Okay? So we're looking at the fingerprints of a supernatural. Because mankind did not move the stones, did not quarry them. I believe they were levitated. Oh, and that's impossible. Oh, really? Well, when you go to the modern day UFO abduction phenomena, guess what? The people who are abducted are levitated off their beds. Oh, and then guess what? And I realize I'm sounding, I get that. I'm frustrated. I'm a frustrated human being. I should be president, but I'm not. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. And I'll calm down a little bit, okay? L.A., you're going to give yourself one of those you-know-whats. Just calm down. So they go through the flipping window. How do they do that? Because the fallen angels can manipulate space, time, matter, and energy in ways that defy our physics. So why is it so hard to imagine a fallen angel or a group of them coming down to the Newark Circle Mounds and basically creating this thing in 24 hours, whatever? They fly the dirt. They manipulate the dirt. They just bring it in, just like they brought the rocks in at Sacsayhuaman.
So LA, when we went, then we went to the Mound Builders Country Club, the Octagon Mounds. You know, I grew up in this area my whole life. I was here. It was always the Mound Builders Golf Course Country Club. I'd never played golf there. I'd love to play golf, but I'd never been on it because it was members only. But I went there because you got permission to go there with your drone. And LA, when I walked out there and I saw that octagon mound, how that thing was put together, to think that some Indians did the LA, come on, man. Somebody had to be high looking down on that thing to make sure it is perfectly arranged.
It's perfectly arranged. It encompasses, the octagon mound encompasses 50 acres of land. I've been in it three times. When you're there and you're looking at the octagon, you don't know what you're looking at.
No, you don't.
You realize whatever this thing is big, but you don't know. and it's an irregular octagon. In other words, all the sides are not equal. Two of the sides are irregular, unequal. So now we've got advanced geometry. How was this done? And then on top, the smoking gun, Fritz Zimmermann and I talk about this all the time. The smoking gun is the fact that the octagon mount is built on the 18 and a half year lunar cycle. And when you go to that one part, I think it's the second hole or the third hole, whatever it is in the golf course.
Yeah.
There's the site where it's almost like this, it's some kind of an observatory. They don't know what it is. It's like a platform. Guess what? That's where the moon in 2025, and I'm going to try to be there to film it. That's where the lunar standstill happens, where after 18 and a half years,
wow.
After 18 and a half years, the moon comes up and just sits there as the lunar standstill. It just sits right over that. They knew. And Native Americans had no clue. There it is. No clue at all that the octagon mound was built on an 18 and a half year lunar cycle, the tonic cycle. Native Americans didn't even know about the 18 and a half year lunar cycle. They knew the moon changed, but they didn't know it was 18 and a half years. Europeans didn't know about it either. Oh, guess what the Book of Enoch says? There's a fallen angel by the name of Sariel who hands this information to mankind.
So, LA, one final thing to make a connection. What happened out there in Nevada when that supposedly that aircraft crashed out there, and then all of a sudden, we got all this new technology, and LA, we hadn't even been flying. We've been flying vehicles at that point for maybe 35, 40 years. And the next thing you know, within the next 20 years, we're on the moon. How do we do these great discoveries, LA, in such a short period of time? What happened?
Well, look, okay, not by what LA Marzulli says, and you're talking about the Roswell crash.
Yes, right.
Not because of what I say, because of our government tells us on the record that our government has in their possession, off-world vehicles not made on this earth. So what do we do with that? Immediately you would go, well, if you've got off-world vehicles, then who's piloting the off-world vehicles? You know, and more importantly, you know, who's making the hubcaps for those off-world vehicles, right?
Yeah, and who's running the radar back at the station, right?
Bada-bing. And so they release this stuff. The American people do what? Snooze. The church does what? Snooze even harder. And you know, I'm sitting here going, oh my God, I can't believe it. But that's me. Was there back engineering done? Absolutely. How do we know this? Bob Lazar, way back in the 90s, and people discredited him and didn't believe him. I believed him. I know body language. I'm a student of it. And I believe Lazar. He's never changed his story. Never changed his story in all these years, all these decades that have gone by. He back engineered the propulsion system. He talks about the craft here's the craft, right? So the craft is coming like this. There's a gravity wave, which pulls the craft along. This is why they can make 90-degree turns and nobody is thrown up against the wall. This is why they can accelerate to, you know, 20,000 miles an hour. Doesn't matter. The gravity wave, you're bending space and time. That's how it works, according to Bob Lazar. And that's what I believe. It's the only thing that makes sense. It's not a propulsion system as we know it. It's a gravity wave, which basically distorts the space-time continuum. So you're just traveling. You don't feel anything.
Listen, we're about out of time. A little bit of self-promotion here, okay? Where can people find you? And you and I, both of us, we're going to be at the Hear the Watchman event in Dallas, Texas on March, I think it's 17th, 18th, 19th.
Yeah,
17th
to 20th.
Yeah, we're both going to be there. But LA, there are probably some people who've watching this who have never heard any of this stuff at all before. Where can they come and learn more about
you know what? I mean, we have a brand new website. It's called On the Trail of the Nephilim. And we'll be showing all those. Look, these videos are TV worthy. They're broadcast worthy. It's not a YouTube video like this. It's, you know, it's a lot of time in my studio here with everything that we're doing. There's a lot of cuts. onthetrailwithla.com. onthetrailwithla.com. I believe our first episode is up there. That's Nephilim 101. Need to watch that. That's your starting point. onthetrailwithla.com.
On the Trail with L.A. Folks, we're going to try to work real hard. L.A. and I are going to see him this weekend when we're in Dallas, and we're going to try to figure out a way that we can bring an event here in the Clump. This, folks, it's all around us. We didn't even get a chance to talk about the Serpent Mound down in Chillicothe. I got him over the top of the hill right here with me, L.A. I'm sitting right here in Nephilim Central.
And,
yes, sir. And so we want
to. There it is. On the Trail with L.A.
All right, On the Trail with L.A. L.A., thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. It's all been good. Coach Dave Dobmeier, we'll be right back. Sitting in here for Doug Hagman today. We'll be right back on the other side. Hey, welcome back, folks. Man, oh, man. That was an unbelievable hour, wasn't it? I could talk to L.A. Marzulli all day long. Because you know why? Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I always... You know, I do a morning show. I think a lot of you out there know that I coachdavelive.com. I do a morning show 5 days a week at 7 o'clock. And we talk about these things that you do not hear about in church. And I remember the old game show when I was growing up. It was called You Don't Say. And the host of the show said, it's not what you say that counts, it's what you don't say. And I think we're living in a time and a place where it's not what you know that counts, it's what you don't know. That's what we could discuss a lot at Coach Dave Live 5 days a week. It's all free. It's all archived on my website. If you'd ever want to come and jump in there, boy, we do edgy stuff, friends, because I think the Bible is exciting. I think Christianity is exciting. It's more than just going and sitting in the pew and listening to the pastor preach and going home and watching the Buckeyes or the Bengals or the Browns or whatever. And we live in times like we have never, ever seen. And so that's why I get so pumped up when I get a chance to be around L.A. And as L.A. said, we're going to try to get a conference together here in the Newark, Ohio area. There's mounds everywhere in this area. And because of the lockdowns and all that, we're going to invite Fritz Zimmerman here as well. Because of all the lockdowns and everything like that, we haven't had the chance to be able to gather together. And tells us in the book of Hebrews that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Even more as we see that day approaching. So it's been 2 years since we really haven't been able to get together. That's why I'm excited about going to hear the Watchman. You can go check that out and come and join us. LA is going to be there. I'm going to be there. In fact, Ohio Brad, who's going to join me here in a second, is going to be there. These are exciting times in which we live. And folks, we can't get caught holding the bag, not knowing exactly what's going on. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So I think, again, Doug had some oral surgery. And he'll be okay. It's just time to recover from all that stuff. I think he had to go in, maybe even remove a little bit of his jawbone. And I can't even, God, I hate going to the dentist. So I can't even imagine what that's like. And just thank Doug that he trusted me enough to be able to come in here and sit in for him on tonight's show. And right now I'm going to bring in my old buddy, Brett Bull, Ohio Brett. And I thank, again, Doug for giving us platform to talk about that, because we've come on, I've had Brett on here before, and I know Doug's been on, or Brett's been on with Doug as well. So we talked about the ChristianRevolution.net, the ChristianRevolution.net. And I thought it'd be a good time to bring Brett in, because Brett is really the guy who's given direction to it. He's the one that's really doing the everyday operation, what's going on. And we haven't had an update. A lot of you in the Hagman audience have been so generous to us that when we started the Christian Revolution back in September, by the time we got to December, we had raised almost $500,000. It's just two little flunkies like me and Brett, because the vision was so strong about helping people out there because the churches have so dropped the ball. We felt it was imperative that we help fund good, get some money to people who are actually doing on the street ministry, people who are actually doing little things locally. You give to the big ministries that focus on the families and the family research councils, and they're so big and so massive and overhead and big buildings. And we knew there were all kinds of little guys out there who were really, really working hard. So because we're not a 501c3, we were put in a situation where we either had to spend all of that money by January 1st, or pay taxes on it. So in the month of December, we really launched things up, and we distributed in the neighborhood of $360,000 that we had raised to what we call grandees. And Brett's going to talk about that a little bit here as we go. But we're now in a situation where we haven't gone to sleep. We haven't quit. we're back trying to refill the coffers again because the battle is more real today than it has ever been. I don't know if you folks know this or not. Tom Renz, the attorney, we all know what a rock star Tom Renz has become. Did you know that we have funded, the Christian Revolution has funded Tom Renz to the point of almost, what, $85,000 we've put towards the efforts of Tom Renz, that we've taken nearly $100,000 and we've helped Dr. Sherry Tenpenny start a new an alternative medical system. We're doing a lot of great stuff. And in the meantime, we have funded just some mom and pops that we're going to talk a little bit about here today. So, Brett, I've rambled on here to mouth for quite a bit, but we're doing some great stuff at the Christian Revolution. I thought it was time we got you back on and we could help people understand exactly what we've been up to. Come on in, Brett. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, Coach Dave, it's an honor to be here. And Brett Bowl, my nickname, Ohio Brett, I'm so glad to be back on the Hagman Report. And Mr. Hagman was so gracious he was our very first interview. September 2nd, we launched our first ever event in Buffalo. And then our first live interview was with Mr. Hagman. And Mr. Hagman, I hope you watch this video and know the sincere thank you from Ohio Brett and Coach Dave, because you gave us that initial launch and we are taking it and running from there. As Coach Dave shared, that we've already given out over $345,000 in grants that all went out. And so, since September 2nd, we know what the game plan is. God led it on our heart to go fund good. So we're going to be obedient to that task. And I've had the frontline seat of traveling to 22 states since we launched September 2nd in Buffalo. And the Team Jesus is uniting like never before. And I give Coach all the updates that he travels so much as well. But 22 states, and I believe by faith, before we have our one-year birthday party back in Buffalo, we're going to do it the third week of September. I believe by faith I can get to all 50 states. You might ask why that's important. Well, no one's ever heard of the Christian Revolution. Yes, we're over the target. And yes, Team Jesus is uniting like never before. And with your funds, we are getting that money into the hands of the team, Team Jesus, that is fighting for good versus evil every single day, Coach.
So, bro, one of the things that we did not, as I said, let's talk about this a little bit, because one of the big things that we had on our heart at the time was what we called lawfare. And we were seeing when we got this started, remember, folks, this is back in September now when we launched this, we saw a lot of people who were losing their jobs, being forced to take the jab, all kinds of crazy things going on, and nobody fighting for them. And the reason nobody could fight for them is because they all had to go get a lawyer. They had to dig in their pocket and come up with $5,000 or $10,000 to hire an attorney, and with no hopes really that they're even going to be able to win that. So one of the first things that we jumped on board with was attorney Tom Renz, who has become basically a rock star because Tom has been fighting so hard against the Luciferian government and what all they've been trying to do. And we've dumped I had to use the term dump, but that's the truth. $90,000 into Tom Renz to fight back against these forces of darkness. Is that right, Brett?
The exact number is $80,000, and we knew it was so critical, but we've all also given out other grants to lawyers in West Virginia, in the Buffalo area, in the Ohio areas, that lawfare is such a key principle, a pillar, one of our six, Coach, but as we shared before, lawfare is just the first one, the health and wellness and medical, and what we can do in that parallel system, the standing up for Jesus outside of the four walls of the church. And Coach, I got my shirt on here. Truth sounds like hate if you hate the truth. Coach, you are America's coach. Mr. Hagman named you that. And you have been doing such a great job rallying Team Jesus. So now on this project, I can come beside you and we can help get funds out to those players on Team Jesus that have been doing good for many years. There's a couple other categories that we think we can really impact. And in Hagman's international audience, some of you might be in the sports world, some of you from the music world, and definitely all of you, education touches your life, whether it's the public schools, the private schools, or now those homeschool communities and those homeschool families that need funding now more than ever. So We are raising those dollars. And coach, it's been so exciting that over those 22 states, and by faith, I'll get to all 50 before Buffalo and our 1 year birthday party. We're making those connections with Team Jesus because we want to encourage the team. But as any good coach does, you have to recruit more players. So of course we want to encourage the body of Christ, but we also want to grow it. So we're going to be actively involved with events every single quarter in key cities in all 50 states. And some examples of what we're putting together are country club fundraisers, concerts, golf tournaments, and prayer gatherings. So the local team, coach, they know Biloxi better than we do. They know Seattle better than we do. They know El Paso better than we do. Why? Because they live there. But we give them the platform to have events that they can not only encourage the team, Jesus, but also invite neighbors and friends to learn more about this guy named Jesus. And I think that's important.
So, Brett, but here's the truth, folks. We're finding this out stuff out more and more every day. We're finding out, can I tell you the truth, friends? The government is funding evil. Our tax dollars are being used to fund evil. I don't know if you saw this or not. We had like $3.5 billion disappear in Ukraine. We know what's going on over Ukraine and all that back and forth, right? But your tax dollars, $3.5 billion just vanished. What do we know is happening? What do we know is going on? Well, that money's pouring into the government, and the government's divvying it out to those who are against the Lord and against his anointed. That is Psalm 2. So we have to ask ourselves, who is funding good? You say, well, coach, focus on the family is. Okay, let's say they are. Family Research Council. Okay, let's say they are. But who is fighting locally? Who in your local town is out trying to do good and having to sell T-shirts and hats simply to stay in business while George Soros and the government is funding evil everywhere we look? So what we're trying to do, the vision of the ChristianRevolution.net is we want to fund boots on the ground people who are making a difference in public schools, for instance, right? And waking up local folks. This is, I'm telling you, this is so good. So Brett, if we could, Mr. Producer, I don't know, Eric, could you pull up, there it is, up on the screen right now, Brett. I want people to see on the screen who are some of our donors, donees were, some of the grant recipients were, because the people here in the Hagmut audience, they donated money. Folks, this is your money. We are handing out the money that you gave to people who need it. And if you could throw that up there for us real quick, Eric, Brett, maybe you could take a minute or two and just talk about some of these special people and what our funding has enabled them to be able to do.
Well, you already mentioned the first two there. And coach, this is what's so exciting is that Coach Dave and Ohio Brett, we're just two team guys and we're just two guys on the team Jesus. So the whole idea is getting these events up and running and fundraising in all 50 states. So you, the local team Jesus, can nominate people who are being doing good because you live with them. Look at Marcus Goodwin. Marcus Goodwin has been doing, him and his brother have doing amazing things in the Toledo, Ohio area, in the inner cities, in Flint, Michigan, in Detroit. They are worthy of a grant. Pastor Dale Socha down in New Orleans has been doing good for many, many years, and he's worthy of a grant. You can scroll up a little bit. There, how about a doctor, a chiropractor that's being doing so good in the Buffalo area? Once a month, she drives out to Amish land, and there's 30 horse and buggies waiting on her, and she won't even take a dime to help the Amish out. Marie Rock in Buffalo, Matthew Miller. There are so many great stories all over America, and yes, we know that. Coach, I love that you shared, I think it was Exodus 14:14. Just be wait on the Lord because he will fight for you.
You shall hold your peace and the Lord shall fight for you. The Lord himself shall fight for you. It's Exodus 14:14.
That is such a powerful scripture because our Lord is fighting. But here's what's also happening in the earthly world. Team Jesus is uniting like never before because we're not just going to wait for the rapture. We're just not going to sit back on our couch, but your funding is allowing us to get the money into the hands of the local people who are doing good in the spiritual battle and the Lucifer-led evil. And one of the exciting things, Coach, that every single event we do, we know that you're allowed to vote for whoever you want. But we actually, when we have these players meetings, we want to lock the door. Team Jesus, players meeting, lock the door. Leave your politics outside. Whether you're on the right or on the left, unfortunately, my opinion is that Lucifer-led evil has infiltrated at the highest level those politicians, both on the right and on the left.
Brett, let me stop you. Let me stop you a second, folks, because that was exactly what L.A. Marzulli was talking about in the previous segment, folks. The kings of this earth are conspiring against the Lord and against his anointed. And so you all know this, right? The money goes into the local church, and we can name some mega churches, you know, who some of the big ministries are in the world. And that's all good. We're not being critical of them. But who's helping the little guy on the street who's spending his time working at your local pregnancy help center? Who's funding these guys? Who's funding these guys who has an outreach ministry to the homeless in his community? Who is doing that? That is what our desire is, to find those people who don't have any other means of funding their ministries and plugging them in here. That's exactly what it is that we're trying to do. Now, we know on the other side who's funding them, don't we? George Soros and the crew. And we don't want to be George Soros, but we want to have that kind of impact. Now, Brett, if I could real quickly, let me talk about one of the recipients in particular, Jamie Walden. I don't know if you guys know who Jamie Walden is or not. Jamie Walden is he's a military hero. He's a strong, young Christian man who just took over a Christian camp. The camp was given to Jamie. That's not the right word. Control of the camp was granted to Jamie, and they did all kinds of repairs and updates, and going to be a Christian community where they're going to come in and train young people on Christian values and get them actively involved in living out their faith. Jamie's been one of our recipients. We sent money to Jamie that they can do a lot of refurbishing and stuff like that. Folks, look, some people are on the front lines fighting the war, right? The Bible says that no soldier goes to warfare at his own charges or his own expenses. Isn't it good that if we have to deploy troops around the world, they don't have to pick up their own dime? They don't have to pay for it as they go? And that's what we're trying to do here. I'm not trying to do an overkill here, but help you to understand how important it is that these little guys, all politics is local. All ministry is local. Yes, you can send back and you can write a check to Red Cross. And yes, you can write a check to Salvation Army. Well, sure you can, and that money will go. But folks, what about the little guy on the corner in your town who's actually doing great things with ministry and doing the best he can to try to make a difference? That's what the Christian revolution is all about. And we want to be able to put, as Brett always says, Team Jesus. That's what I try to do, is put together these teams all across America. We build an email list and a group of, then we're able to get people in Buffalo, New York, connected to people in Cleveland, Ohio, connected to people in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we begin to build a network and an army to begin to push back against the forces of darkness. Does that sound okay, Brett?
That sounds great, Coach, and you nailed it right there. Our simple marketing plan is pray, give, and share. We just ask people, we do believe that there's a million Christians out there that will go to the ChristianRevolution.net and they will pray over us. And they will read on our homepage our open letter to the world. Because, Coach, we're not for everybody. If you're on Team Lucifer, you came to the wrong website. But if you want to learn about who's funding good and getting money out into the hands at the local level, Team Jesus at the local level, we just ask you to go to the website, read our open letter to the world, pray over us. And if you can, if you feel led, give $10, $20, $100 or more, and then share. Share our website, share with your neighbors and your friends that, hey, you guys ever heard of the ChristianRevolution.net? They're super old. We're 6 months old, Coach, but we know that we're over the target. And yes, it is about the funds. We are an organization that we believe we can impact every single county and every single state. Yes, fundraising is always going to be part of that. We're a grant-making organization. And it's real easy to find us. You can go to the website, you can click on donate, The second part is we're going to be actively involved in encouraging Team Jesus and growing the team. So every event we ever do, it's perfect for you to bring a recruit, someone who maybe has never even heard of Jesus, or maybe somebody that you've invited to go to church with you 100 times, and for some reason they never go, but they might come to a country club fundraiser. Maybe they'll come to a concert. Maybe they'll play golf with you in a golf tournament, or go to a prayer gathering or a picnic in the park. This isn't rocket science, but we're going to encourage and host events all across America. And then the third thing, Coach already mentioned it, it's so critical. We have the platform that through the team, we can get truth. We can get truth out at the local level. And this truth is so, it is not being shared by politicians on the right or left. It sure as heck isn't being offered out by the mainstream media that's Lucifer-led, nor is it being led out by politicians, pastors, teachers, or superintendents. It's up to us at the local level to get that truth out. And that's so what we're involved in at thechristianrevolution.net.
So Brett, people sit there and say $100 million. A million people give $100, $100 million. Folks, do you have any idea? Come on now. Do you have any idea how many homeschool co-ops we could start with that? I want you to think about it, right? We are losing America because we are training our children in Lucifer. Lucifer's in charge of our educational system, folks. We're surprised that when you send kids, how can we be shocked when you send your kids to Caesar and they come back to you little Romans? How can that be surprising to us? We look at what's going on and they're training them in transgenderism and all this debauchery, all the stuff's going on. Why are we not setting up our own local Christian schools that are not a burden upon the parents? The parents are paying school. They're paying taxes for the children to go to the public schools and then having to pay tuition to send them to a private school. Well, that's one of the visions that we have with the ChristianRevolution.net is to begin to start up some of these homeschool co-ops, these church, whatever we would call it. If we do not capture the next generation, folks, I don't know if we're still going to be here. So you have to get a vision. And as one of my friends said, we got to come out of Babylon. We have to come out of that Babylonian system. And friends, the truth of it is, it will not happen without money. It takes money to make these things happen. So listen, I know we've mentioned money, but you get it, right? That's what we spent all our money. We spent it all. And there are a lot of people out there who still need a lot of help, and we need to refill the coffers. Go ahead, Brett.
And we will, Coach. And it's take it to prayer first. Now, we're all about Team Jesus. I hope that the Hagman Report, I'm going to guess this audience digs into their Bible every single day. This Bible, there's nobody playing defense on you from reading. I read 4 pages every day. I'd be obedient to that, but I want to plug into that. But I also want to surround myself with great coaches and mentors. That's why I start, Ohio Brett starts his day Monday through Friday on CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com. And if you're not plugging into that, you are missing something that you will never see in any church. And there is such good dialogue there, but also the truth, the Hagman Report, your international audience, you might be up to 5 million viewers, 10 million viewers. I don't know why there's not 20 million viewers watching the Hagman Report every single video. But the reason why is you, your audience, you need to share it with people. Don't be selfish and just watch the Hagman Report for yourself. He has been doing such amazing things for so many years. So now to wrap it all together, at thechristianrevolution.net, that's what we're involved in. Number one, we're a grant-making organization that's going to get money out and fund good projects in your town. Every single state, all 50. Number two, we're going to do events that encourage the team and grow the team. And number three, we're going to get truth out to the team. And that truth out is go to the Hagman Report. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. There's so many other sources that we can get truth out. And at that level, the local level, that's where truth will be shared. One family to the next family. One friend meeting in secret in an upper room. Unfortunately, in this time of Lucifer-led evil, that's where we're at, Coach. But it's been an honor to be with you again, Coach, and be on the Hagman Report again. And what an honor.
You know, Brett, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, I believe it is, that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And friends, I like to use this illustration that when my wife and I had Christmas with our kids, a lot of times, especially our son, you'd buy him a present that at Christmas time, you'd wrap it all up and then he would open it up and it would be some type of Lego thing or whatever it was. And there were those words up at the top that always made my heart sink. And that was this: some assembly required. Because I wasn't a mechanic. I couldn't fix
anything. Me
neither. I couldn't put anything together, right? And as soon as I would see that, my son would be all excited, want to play this new toy. And I said, oh, God, it's got to be put together. I don't know how to do that, right? So look, folks, here's what it is. All the pieces were in the box. When I got the box of my son's toys, all the pieces were in there, but they weren't assembled. Do you understand? They weren't put together. So when Jesus said, or the book of Hebrews has said, to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, it didn't say just put all the parts in the church, just get all the parts in the church and let them all just sit in there. No, at some point, we have to assemble the parts together. Let me ask you something. Are you a thumb? Are you a finger? Are you a lung? Are you an elbow? Are you a big toe? Because every part of the body has a function that they're supposed to be doing. And we're living in a world today where Christianity has become nothing more than, dare I say it, the pastor stands in the pulpit and preaches, I listen, and then I go home. And everything's okay because Pastor Bill's on top of it. Pastor Joe's on top of it. And even though you are one of the pieces in the box, nobody ever plugs you in. So one of the things that we try to do at the Christian Revolution, we want to put you in the game. We want to plug you in to where you belong. Because why? Brett could tell you this because Brett's the head of our volunteer force, putting that all together. There are people out there just waiting to be put in the game. They have the skill set. They don't know what to do with it. They want to make a difference for the cause of Christ. They want to make a difference in their Christian walk. And they go to church and nobody asks them to do anything. Brett, we're running across hundreds and hundreds of these kind of people, are we not?
We are. And I want to say thank you again to the Hagman Report. All the great gifts that you gave to get us started and all the future gifts that you'll give. And those of you who want to volunteer, now that we're 6 months old, the whole strategy all along was, now that we have over 5,000 emails, we are going to be very respectful with those emails. You're not going to get an email a day from us. We're going to be so protective of that. But right now, we're starting the campaign to do grantee features, to do videos from Coach, to do videos from Ohio Brett, wherever we're at in the country. So now, heads up, you're going to start getting those emails on a weekly basis. We don't think one email a week is too much, but we're not going to overwhelm you, but we are going to communicate with you, starting with our emails. So that's exciting. Coach, this journey, we're just being obedient to God's call in our
Brett,
life.
We're going to assemble the body. Folks, one of the visions we also have is weekly, bi-weekly Zoom meetings. A Zoom meeting not with me and Brett, although we would be there. How would you like to have a time and sit down and talk to Tom Rentz? Would you like to ask Tom Rentz some questions about exactly what it is? You get a chance to do that. We're going to begin to do that. We're going to bring people that you can call in and talk to. Medicals. We can bring Dr. Sherry Tenpenny in. We can bring in Dr. Sherry Madej. We can bring in these experts from around the world that you yourself will be able to talk to, folks. That's one of the things we think is important in regards to the assembling of the body together. That's how you will plug in and connect with one another. And that's, in my opinion, think about this now. How many churches are there on the main street in your town? How many are there? Four, five? Is there one on every street corner in downtown in this little town that you live in? Do they even know each other? Do those pastors work together? Do they see a problem going on in their local schools with transgenderism being taught? Do they see the critical race theory being taught? Are those pastors working together to fight back against it? Well, no, they do not work together. Again, the team is not being assembled, is it? That's one of the things that we want to do at the Christian Revolution, is help put those local teams together so we can fight back against the forces of darkness. Brett, I see it so clearly. I see it so clearly. I see how organized the left is. I see that they don't have money problems, and when they all fight together, and we're just a little bit behind the eight ball, but we're going to get caught up.
We will get caught up, Coach. And one of the great things as we assemble is you and I will both be at the Hear the Watchman conference in Texas. And if any of you are in the greater Dallas area, we're going to be in Grapevine, Texas next week. It's March 18th through the 20th. And Coach Dave is going to give an amazing speech. Ohio Brett has been asked to give the kickoff speech. So I'm going to start things off, but it'll be amazing.
L.A. Marzulli is going to be, of course, you know, L.A. was at the first part of the show, right? Okay.
And it will be great. Coach, that and L.A. Marzulli was there, was on your show earlier, and he'll be there live. There are so many great speakers that will be there. And that's just one of the things that we can do and represent all the great things you do, Coach, with your ministry at CoachDaveLive.com and Pass the Salt Ministries. You've been doing it for so many years. And it's an honor for me, Ohio Brett, Brett Bull, nicknamed Ohio Brett, a simple guy from Dublin, Ohio. I am so excited to be on your team. And you can see there that CoachDaveLive.com does a great job on a Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That huddle group, it is so powerful. Folks, you're not going to want to miss that. And I plug in daily, and I'm so honored to be on your team. And Coach, this project that God brought us together with the ChristianRevolution.net really started from that relationship. Yeah, and you and I just ran with it, and we're going to run with it to fund good versus evil.
All right, Brett, let me try to wrap things up. I don't know why my internet freezes up. It happens to me every once in a while, folks. So I'm sorry if all of a sudden I'm frozen on your screen, and it's not Eric the tech's fault. It's nobody's fault. It's probably happening on my end. Let me double back around here, if I could, real quick, folks, just kind of tie this whole show together tonight. L.A. Marzulli was talking, when he came in the first hour, he talked to us about Genesis 3, verse 15, right? Where he would put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. The battle we're fighting, friends, is not a political battle. It's not political. It's not Republican against Democrat. It is good versus evil. It's Team Jesus against the devil. And for whatever reason, we have been slow to realize, those of us who carry the name of Christ, we've been slow to realize that many of those within our government are working for the other team. They're not, they may call themselves conservative Republicans, but friends, look around. Have the conservative Republicans come to your defense? Have they been fighting for you to get your masks off and stop the social distancing and not having to take the jab? Have they been coming and fighting against it? No. Because why? Because ultimately these battles are going to be fought and won at the local level. Our own school boards, our city councils, our county commissioners, folks, all politics is local. So part of this vision that we have that we're sharing with you here today is to help you plug into what it is that we're trying to do, because Team Jesus is so much bigger and so much more powerful than what we even understand it is. You turn on the media, they're promoting Team Lucifer all the time. So it looks like our team, we're not here. Folks, we are alive and well and awake.
We are, Coach. And let me tag team on that issue there. If you can put me on the screen there, let me tag team. Coach Dave has done such a great job. He is America's coach. But some of the neat things that we're also doing with the ChristianRevolution.net, we are getting into the Black communities like never before. And Coach Dave and Ohio Brett are only white guys in the room. And we're laying out a plan that we can be good listeners as those two communities come together, the Blacks and the whites coming together and being a good listener to what the heck's going on in our inner cities. And unfortunately, the problem is Lucifer-led politicians, not just on the left, but also on the right. So we're uniting like never before, and coast to coast, border to border, those groups are coming together, and your funding helps allow that programming to happen. And folks, we're going to win. Coach says it better than I do. We want to win now. Team Jesus wants to win now. I get so excited when Coach Dave gets that locker room pumped up. I want to run through the doors and go tackle somebody. This is the excitement that's happening all over. Men and women, blacks, white, Hispanics, Asians. Lucifer hates this because Team Jesus is uniting and growing like never before.
So, folks, listen, we've got to wrap it up here. We're winning. I tell people this all the time. It doesn't look like it, but we're winning. Thanks, Brett, for being here with us. Thanks for Eric. Sorry about the freezing up of my internet, folks. Pray for Doug Hagman. Help. Let's get him back in here, get his mouth working again. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.